Apothecary Herbs announces a brand new formula to help balance blood pressure from head to foot, strengthen your heart muscle, and reduce cholesterol. Now you have a professional strength alternative that works all without fear or worry of serious side effects. Empower yourself. Become independent from the expensive drugs. Call Apothecary Herbs and ask for heart, blood pressure, and cholesterol formula toll-free. 866-229-3663 or online at www.thepowerherbs.com. Heart, blood pressure, and cholesterol formula is just $24.95 and comes with a money-back guarantee. So get a pencil and write this down. Apothecary Herbs, toll-free, 866-229-3663 or on the web at www.thepowerherbs.com. Make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com. If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
1, 2, 3. I was feeling so bad. I asked my family doctor just what I had. I said, Doctor, Doctor, Mr. MD, Doctor, now can you tell me?
Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. Here on Herb Talk, we like to empower you, so that's what we're going to do. Magical Engineer and I have Magical Engineer Frank. Frank. Love Frank. We had a great show, and thanks for joining us here on the American Voice Radio Network. We are going to be talking about hiding health threats with what they call the nudge theory. Ever hear the nudge theory? But we're going to get into that. Also, if we get time, we're going to be talking about fatigue and some other things. And we do have a quack report. And but before we get into all that stuff, I want to ask everybody to lift up a prayer for Charlotte, North Carolina, because they've got these riots going on based on an incident involving a shooting. So people are getting hurt. Innocent people, businesses are being attacked and vandalized. So state of emergency has been enacted here by the governor, and they're going to be moving in some
extra help by the state troopers, SBI, and other assets, as the law enforcement puts it. So a big prayer up for Charlotte, North Carolina, that this gets resolved and everything calms down before anybody else gets hurt. And I did bring my devotional here, but big salute and semper fi to righteous men and women in uniform, always lifting them up in prayer and seeking the Lord's face, asking for his guiding hand and peace and blessings. And, you know, we got to seek the Lord's face to do that. So in my devotional today, which would be a synopsis of 1 Kings 19 and Psalms 5, it goes like this. Wait quietly in my presence while my thoughts form silently in the depths of your being. Do not try to rush this process, because hurry keeps your heart earthbound. I am the creator of the entire universe, yet I choose to make my humble home in your heart. It is there where you know me most intimately, and it is there where I speak to you in holy whispers. Ask my spirit to quiet your mind so that you can hear my still voice within you. I'm speaking to you continually, words of life, words of peace, words of love. Tune your heart to receive these messages of abundant blessings. Lay your requests before me and wait in expectation. That's right. So let's lay a request for peace, not only in Charlotte, but the whole United States, the globe, if necessary. God's will be done. And mind the time, seek Lord's face, because that is the way. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. All right, there's a mysterious polio-like illness that seems to be paralyzing young people, especially children, young adults. This July, a three-year-old, Carter Roberts of Chesterfield, Virginia, seemed perfectly healthy. In the evening, he started to vomit, and then when he woke up the next morning, he had a slight fever. His mother, Robin, figured that, you know, he's coming down with a cold. But the next morning, she found he had collapsed in his bedroom floor and couldn't move. What was most alarming, she said, is that he had no control over his right arm whatsoever. He gets to the hospital, and he loses more control over his legs and other muscles. Within just a few days, he's only able to wiggle one toe and to move the left side of his face. So he was diagnosed with a mysterious polio-like illness called acute flaccid myelitis, a condition that seems to be surging this year in the United States. So through July, more cases were confirmed in the U.S. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention says there's a sharp rise compared to last year, 7 new cases confirmed in 1 month. So in the past years, most cases have occurred between August and December, with the peak being the month of October. So 17 states have reported cases. Let's see, 4 cases in California, 3 in Massachusetts, and also the states of Florida, Texas, Pennsylvania, New York, as well as Virginia, have been reporting these mysterious polio cases. And I think, as I reported, you know, before, that a lot of these, the resurgence in these diseases are coming from immigration, the people coming into the United States sick. They're letting the disease back in. All right, last but not least in the quack report, you ever hear somebody talk about their hair turning white overnight? Some people think it's a myth, a phenomenon that almost, you know, people think is just, you know, fairy tale stuff. But in the International Journal of Trichinology, they found 84 reports of unusual and rapid adult hair that turns white. It is mentioned in the medical literature between the year 1800 to present day. 14 cases were witnessed by a physician. So it's called canonitis subtibia, and it's for some reason, the hair just turns white. The Archives of Dermatology coined the phrase Marie Antoinette syndrome, a sudden whitening of the hair, because it was said that the late queen herself had, due to hardships hardships during the French Revolution, her hair turned white. So there's instances of hair turning white. They seem to immediately follow intense stress or trauma. So I think even some folks coming back overseas for serving in the Iraq War would have instances where their hair turned white quickly. So I believe that. So let's try to stay stress-free out there. And that wraps the Quack Report.
That's all, folks.
All right. Thanks, Frank. Okay, so we're going to be talking about hiding health threats with what is called the nudge theory. Now, I recently saw a report on how some health authorities, such as the CDC, hides the cause of health threats by nudging the public's attention to selective information while claiming transparency. So this, quote, nudge theory is a concept used by big business to sell their product or service. And the CDC is also a business, and they are supposedly in the business of protecting the health of Americans. So the CDC's motto is, quote, saving lives and protecting people. Now, in 2013, the Gallup poll showed that 60% of Americans believe the CDC fulfilled their motto, while 8% did not. Then in 2014, after the Ebola pandemic, the Gallup poll in favor of the CDC dropped to 50%. So we're going to take a look at what's going on with nudge theory and the CDC and how this could impact our lives. First, let's talk about this theory. In a nutshell, the nudge theory is based on a work on the work of Israeli and American psychologists who actually won a Nobel Prize for their work, which uses techniques to influence people. It pretty much goes beyond coaching or leadership management methods and is a broader in its concept. So it has a wide range of concepts that are used, which include relationships, decision-making, stimuli, groups or herd mentalities, human tendencies that influence decisions, etc. So in this research, it was originally for, quote, behavioral economics, and it was supposed to be an ethical concept to improve society. However, it has been exploited and adapted by businesses and governments to instill motive pretty much for anything it wishes to change in people's minds. So make no mistake, nudge theory is used to influence and manipulate how people behave. So it can remove the alarms and the instinct of fear. That's scary. Now, our concepts of motivation can be altered with nudge theory with what is called helpful explanations and relative connections. So politicians use this all the time. So this theory attempts to get human reaction down to a science so they know how people will react, and therefore the masses are more easily controlled, just like steering a ship. Or in other words, nudge theory designs your choices. And nudge theory will take your instincts, your rational thought, your traditional beliefs, and the people you look up to, roll it all into a ball and redirect it. And nudge theory is being utilized to achieve radical change. And this sophisticated method attempts to make right-wrong, up-down, hot-cold, and all without direct action or enforcement. So it's an indirect instruction, if you will. So here is an example. Instead of making you count calories to lose weight, you're given a smaller plate. And here are some goals that nudge theory played out in every product commercial you see, and even on the nightly news. This is pretty much a synopsis of it. Nudge theory understands how people think and how they make decisions and behave. It helps people correct their thinking and their decisions. It manages all changes in choice, It identifies and modifies any existing influences on people. And nudge methods are indirect, tactical, and less confrontational and obtain the cooperation of the target. Scary stuff, huh? All right, so let's talk about these broad implications. Because nudge theory is used by government agencies to change the American family, such in the proper parenting, birth control, education, and diet. So the underpinning philosophy to nudge theory is libertarian parentalism. However, the concept does the opposite of preserving one's liberty. Instead of taking your rights away, it motivates you to voluntarily give them up. And the effects are a dramatic shift in how people perceive and think about everyday life. It convinces people they need to think appropriately and make better decisions. So the politically correct movement is an example. And what nudge theory does is to remove the opportunity for an individual to judge, or in biblical terms, the ability to exercise your wisdom and discernment. Another example is the gender issue with the transgender movement. So the globalization is another by removing the different cultures, the boundaries, and making everything the same for the good of the planet. So under nudge theory, everything becomes neutral and sterile. That way, it makes it much easier for people to accept one currency, one religion, and one government. Nudge theory has been in the making since 1945, but under different names like prospect theory. Let me read you this quote by businessballs.com. They say behavioral economics involves an interaction between American citizens and the U.S. financial systems involving savings, pensions, Social Security, debit and credit cards, environmental taxes, marriage and divorce, and healthcare provisions. So the depth and potential to apply nudge have been explored by all facets of business and politics. The authors of nudge have very cleverly brought the various human tendencies together into a cohesive, comprehensive, and usable set of principles that are very valuable. It has become a type of, quote, human toolkit, and it is evolving and may have the extended use of artificial intelligence, end of quote. Wow. So, you know, I guess that whole thing, like, you've just been gamed. Well, a bit of an understatement. All right, so let's get back to the CDC. So the CDC is also using nudge theory to protect the financial assets of certain businesses. Take, for instance, the producers of soda beverages. The CDC has launched a nudge campaign that suggests that soda is not a contributor of obesity or diabetes, and in fact, exercise is really the culprit. So when we dig further, we find that the former CDC director, Barbara Bowman, had a conflict of interest with the company producing Coke soda products. And the nudge campaign was successful in getting the WHO, the World Health Organization, to relax its sugar restrictions on soda. And it gets worse. The CDC employee of the Global Health Division, Dr. Michael Pratt, led the research for the soda business. Pratt has ties to the International Life Science Institute, which is a nonprofit serving the food and beverage industry. So you're probably wondering, okay, well, so how did the CDC get the nudge theory to get millions of Americans to believe that soda, full of sugar, not contributing to diabetes or obesity? Well, they use nudge theory by informing you of the concept of energy balance. And people say, okay, what's energy balance? Well, the CDC suggests to you that exercise, not soda, causes obesity and diabetes through this study that was authored by Dr. Pratt and Coca-Cola. So, if the health authorities will use nudge theory with regards to soda, you know that they will use it with regards to vaccines. And it's suspected that in 2015, Dr. William Thompson's research with regard to the connection of autism and the MMR vaccine were redirected using nudge theory to cover up the threat. So Dr. Anthony Morris, who is the former chief virologist of the FDA's vaccine division, he's now deceased, but he warned the public in 1976 that after 10 years of looking at the raw data on vaccine trials, he concluded it was all a hoax. Raw data on studies is not seen by the peer review folks. Here's a quote from Dr. Anthony Morris. He was quoted in the Washington Post in 1979 by saying, "The producers of these vaccines know they are worthless, but they go on selling them anyway. It is a medical ripoff. I believe the public should have truthful information on the basis in which they can determine whether or not they want to take a vaccine. And I believe if given full information, they wouldn't take a vaccine," end of quote. Well, you know, and so who is supporting the CDC? You know, is it you and me, the taxpayer? Well, most Americans think that the Center for Disease Control is not privately funded and that tax dollars support the agency. Well, this gives the CDC the appearance of not being influenced by outside entities, and they are solely about the public's health. Well, in 2015, the British Medical Journal published an editorial piece by the editor Jane Lentzer, who attempted to remove the wool over the American eyes, and she reported, quote, "Despite the CDC's disclaimer, it does receive millions of dollars in industry gifts and funding both directly and indirectly. Recent CDC recommendations have raised questions about the science it cites and the clinical guidelines it promotes and the money it is taking," end of quote. And here's also a quote from the Office of the Inspector General report in 2009. Goes on to say, "The CDC has a systemic lack of oversight of the ethics program. There were 97% of the disclosure forms filed by its advisors to be incomplete, and 13% of the advisors don't even file them. We found that 64% of the CDC employees engaged in conflicts of interest, 41% of the employees received no ethics training, and 15% who did receive ethics training did not comply with the requirements," end of quote. Aha. Well, the CDC is in charge of biolabs, which store potentially dangerous and deadly pathogens. And I would think that the American people do not want unethical employees with conflicts of interest in charge of such material. So the oversight and sound judgment is lost in such an organization. Now, for instance, in 2014, the Department of Agriculture reported some serious blunders by the CDC. You probably read about it in the paper where they lost pathogens. It was shipped somewhere and they couldn't find it. And then somebody found it in a storage closet and blah, blah, blah. So according to the Department of Agriculture report, they said they had this clean room to the laboratory that was storing pathogens that it lost its ventilation system, and the staff simply used duct tape to seal the doors because they wouldn't lock, the doors couldn't lock, and backup system malfunction during power outages, and nothing was secure. So an external safety group was asked to come in and evaluate the safety protocols of the CDC, and 11 experts reported that the CDC has some serious problems. The report stated that the CDC was grossly inconsistent and had insufficient commitment to overall safety and laboratory safety training, end of quote. Wow, that's scary. That is really scary. So, you know, big business, banks, governments, they can engage in nudge theory all they want, as long as there's some cold water to splash in the face of Americans to wake them up. Well, these theories won't have much impact as long as we're awake. So the next time you want to speak the truth and political correctness says you shouldn't, I want you to think nudge theory. The next time health authorities or an employer says you have to be vaccinated, think nudge theory. The next time you're told not to pray, think nudge theory. The next time you're told to pay an environmental tax, you must pay by debit or credit card, or you can't feed the homeless, think nudge theory. So let's put nudge theory in reverse, and let's get back to godly principles and morals and some friggin' common sense, right? So what do you do when you don't, what do you do when you want some truth? Okay, well, what you do is you seek out truthful sources. And I personally know that God cannot lie. He instructs us to seek him, look to him, and to pray to him. So God has instructed us that herbs are for the service of man and for the healing of the nations. You'll find that in Psalms 104 and Revelation 22. And I also like to pray Psalms 91. It's a special prayer protection from plagues and war. It's also the biblical principle to pray against the enemies of God and seek that he remove them. Ask God to remove them. So those who use nudge theory are not friend but foe. So more teens and young adults are throwing away their smartphones for just regular phones to get away from the social media, which is overusing nudge theory. Oh, yeah. So there is some protection, though. I love to use herbs for protection. If we want to take God's instruction seriously, we need to learn how to use his herbs for better health and protection. So there are herbs for everyday health problems, but there are also herbs for serious pandemics. So if you're interested in learning which herbs and how to use them, you might want to call the experts in immune-boosting herbs, toxin removal herbs, and vaccination protection and pandemic protection herbs. You can give them a call, Apothecary Herbs, give them a call toll-free. Number's 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. If you're outside the U.S., dial 704-885-0277 or thepowerherbs.com. That's where your healthcare options just became endless. And because if you're serious about herbs, you really do need Apothecary Herbs. And now's a good time to take advantage of their autumn special. You'll save 15% on your order of $50 or more now through Monday. The coupon code is on their homepage, or if you don't have access to the website, you can just call and ask about the discount. So thepowerherbs.com, toll-free number is 866-229-3663, and get empowered. That's what it's about. Now, if you do have access to the web, sign up for their free newsletters. Great stuff. Information comes to you each week, and absolutely free subscription. You can go to thepowerherbs.com and click on books and newsletters and sign up for free. And always great stuff. By the way, new website coming. They're upgrading the website for mobile tablet use so that you can get around on there. I think you'll like the new navigation. The website still has the same look and feel per se, but just better function. Better accessibility. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
The ancient Greeks thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, The chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of thyme herb is that it soothes the nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for thyme tincture and tea to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online at thepowerherbs.com.
Thomas Edison invented the light bulb, Henry Ford the automobile, and herbalist Wendy Wilson? Well, discover for yourself. Listen to Herb Talk Live.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today, or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Our prescription for good health? Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson. No insurance card required.
Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 for international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
I think we're going to be talking about this topic. It's kind of going along with what we've been seeing and hearing about. It kind of pulls in some ancient wisdom. So let's just go there. I love going back. You know, if I hadn't been an herbalist, I'd have been an archaeologist. I truly believe that because I just love archaeology and old stuff. Now, in ancient times, a physician of no value was considered a forger of lies, the old text says. So if we go back more than 2,000 years, we know by the ancient texts that the most common ailments were eye infections, skin diseases like leprosy, respiratory problems like consumption, malaria, and typhoid fever. And people of the ancient world used what was, you know, at their disposal. They would use foods, herbs, and spices. So if there were physicians available and the people understood that although the physician had a duty, the people had a strong conviction that the real power to heal was divine. So often the ancient physicians were called holy men or wise men and were known to have skill with medicinal plants as well as to possess faith in the Creator. However, there were also those in the ancient kingdoms that practiced what is called heathen arts or witchcraft and magic. And these were wizards using alchemy to treat the sick and were considered by many to be physicians of no value. And people of faith avoided such healers and refused their methods for cure. Even King Solomon was recorded as saying in Deuteronomy 32 that it was not the herb or the modifying of the herb applied that was the cure. It was the Lord who cured because all is in the hand of God. He owns everything, including the herbs. So what we can learn from the ancient healers is, well, let's find out. Let's look at these early physicians. The earliest written mention of physicians comes from ancient Egypt. They were mentioned in scripture as well. The Egypt physician worshipped many idols, including an idol called Imhotep. And there were different classes of in Egypt, but the physician was called the Snu, and their ability to heal was mythical, using magic and incantations. So these physicians were not scientists, and their knowledge of the human anatomy was almost non-existent at that time. And it's said that even their embalming of mummies was flawed, and it was the desert climate that preserved more than the art of mummification. But in ancient Israel, it was said that there were a few real physicians who knew the art of healing with medicinal plants. Some scholars of that time period refer to them as isolation experts or the sanitary police who would crudely quarantine people with skin diseases. So during the time of the Bible, there were no priests who were physicians at that time. And I think that the knowledge of the medicinal plants was kind of handed down by the women who became the doctor or the doctor mom for the purpose of healing their household family members along with also your midwives. And any cure through a prophet was recorded as a miracle. And a miracle of God rather than the physician's treatment at all. God got all the credit, which is absolutely correct. Well, in the beginning, Scripture does instruct us to use herbs as a way to restore or heal the body. In the first book of Genesis, we see God called herbs meat in Genesis chapter 1, 29 and 30. So in Psalms 104:14, King David states herbs are here for the service of man. Clearly, he understood the power and benefit of medicinal herbs. And as we go through the book and we get to Revelations 22, verse 2, herbs are for the healing of the nations. So King Solomon actually had the time and the money to collect a lot of information. He even had drawings of the medicinal plants. And it said that he listed symptoms and prepared an ancient text of cures that they called the cipher Reperna, which means symptom report. So he recorded the medicinal use of these herbs, and it was said that it was banned from use by the 13th king of Judah, Hezekiah. In the book of Ezekiel, there is mentioned of the fruit and leaves of the trees that were of a medicinal nature. Then there was the king of Judah, Asa, who made the mistake of not seeking the Lord for healing because he had a disease on his feet. So he went to the physicians, and the disease got worse, and he finally died. It's recorded in 2 Chronicles chapter 16. And researchers say that science didn't begin to creep into ancient forms of medicine until the School of Alexandria was founded in Alexandria, Egypt. Now, this school was a museum for intellectual writings of all facets of life, and Alexandria at that time was looked upon as the cosmopolitan city of its time. It was pretty mysterious. It was a land, they said, of hidden knowledge by the Greeks and Egyptians and Jews alike. And I suppose that if you housed over 700,000 volumes of writings, you would have a reputation that would span the ancient globe. So we can see that by the ancient world, and then compare it in our modern times, that healing the sick isn't only about science or magic. You know, the Lord Jesus said, in reference to him keeping company with sinners, he said, "They that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick." That's in Matthew 9. So physicians are mentioned in Scripture, but are not given much honor. There is mention of the women who were, have the woman that was plagued with the bleeding issue for 12 years, and she saw many physicians and suffered at their hand, the book says, and took all her money, and she was no better but was made worse. You can read that in Mark chapter 5. And this is an ancient example of a physician of no value. So this is not to say that all physicians were bad in the ancient kingdom. As today, not all physicians are bad, but some were, you know, sincere in their knowledge of natural healing and praying to the Lord for help. And as like Luke was referred to as a beloved physician in Colossians 4. And when I was in herb school, I had a professor who had treated a lady who was brought in by an acupuncturist. Who they were treating her, and she started squirting water everywhere. Obviously, she had an edema issue, and so they couldn't stop the fluids from coming. And he said that it was something he had never seen before. So he went to the herb room and he prayed. He asked the Lord, "What herb should I use?" And he says it just came to his mind what he should use, but he thought to himself, "Now that's not right." But the message he got was, "Use it anyway." So he did, and it stopped the fluid from spurting everywhere because it was pretty much a diuretic herb that he was told to use. Now, some excavations of ancient ruins in like Rome and parts of Italy have revealed surgical instruments that look similar to what surgeons are using today. And the Hippocratic Oath came about to protect patients from physicians of no value. And it was supposed to protect people from the healing craft of sorcery. And it was a pledge that physicians took to do no harm. And this oath was required for graduation from European medical schools from 1508 to 1804. But by the 1900s, the oath was considered outdated, and it was no longer required by 20% of the U.S. medical schools. And in 1948, the General Assembly of the World Medical Association adopted to replace the Hippocratic Oath with a Declaration of Geneva. And it's interesting that this declaration includes statements similar to the HIPAA laws of modern healthcare. So in 1964, Professor Lasagna of Tufts University Medical School amended the Hippocratic Oath to be sensitive to modern healthcare politics. So what he did is he removed the restrictions mentioning surgery, euthanasia, abortion, and having sexual relations with your patients. Even this oath today is merely ceremonial, and it's not really obligatory. And it really doesn't bear any legal weight. So the philosophy of the oath was for medicine never to be lethal, never to cause suicide, never to euthanize or make the womb a grave. So this oath used to demand a strict loyalty to divine law of ethics meant to preserve life. However, the oath became too restricting to modern physicians, and they opted to not be bound by this oath, and therefore They don't even take the Hippocratic Oath any longer. Your doctors do not. So doctors today are not agreeing to be bound by a 25,000-year-old or 2,500-year-old ethical philosophy. So society has kind of changed, and they say that the drugs that promote suicidal tendencies, euthanasia procedures, abortions to full term, and perhaps extending maybe abortion to a child to the age of two, they say it's all part of their new social world contract, which is insane. And so the licensed medical physician that swears to do no harm is therefore extinct. And the Hippocratic Oath swore doctors to help heal with dietary regimens, which suggests that physicians were to have a working knowledge of nutrition. And physicians today have voiced their concerns over any professional oath that provides moral or ethical guidance and that conflicts with what is necessary in the field of medicine. Really? However, there are some physicians that have a different opinion, such as Dr. Howard Markel. He's the author of Professor of Medical History at the University of Michigan, who says this: today, the need for physicians to make a formal warrant of diligent moral and ethical conduct to the service of their patient may be stronger than ever. Oh, yeah, the need is still there. And so without it, the risks increase. Well, here's something to think about. A conversation that was brought to my attention with the term of antibiotic. The term antibiotic means against life. Although antibiotics have been reported to save lives from bacterial infections, in the 20th and 21st centuries, we need to consider at what cost. So the use of antibiotics have really created this life-threatening condition of what is called the superbugs and drug-resistant bacteria, which are more dangerous to life, and in most cases, it produces death. So according to the CDC, in 2013, there were 2 million people in the U.S. infected with drug-resistant bacteria, and 23,000 people died. And we have over 150 different antibiotics and penicillin. Penicillin is the number one cause of anaphylactic shock. So now we have 1 in 5,000 exposures to penicillin that cause life-threatening anaphylactic shock. And according to the WHO, we use over half the world's antibiotics on animals. Now, the farm animals, which receive more antibiotics than any other, are pigs and chickens. The dose use went up 600% to It went from 600% to 1,500% in just a 30-year period. So these drugs have turned out to be literally against life and have, in the long term, promoted death. And there's another factor to consider here with antibiotics, and that is also that they, along with vaccinations, have weakened the immune system and have undermined the human condition. Yeah, that's exactly what virologists would tell you about vaccines. So Harvard published a report in 2015 on the history repeating, avoiding the return of pre-antibiotic age. And in their report, they stated that antibiotics have saved over 200,000 American lives per year. However, the reality of antibiotics on the human condition has produced such life-threatening consequences that it shall undermine any public health achievements the drug had to offer. According to their report, we are in the age of bad bugs and no drugs. So with regard to their offer, according to the report, the antibiotic use in the Harvard report listed mortality statistics from the vital statistics in the U.S. So at first, the mortality rates fell from 9.2 to 2.7 in populations of 100,000 over a 30-year period. But from 1960 onward, the mortality rates have been steadily rising. So in 2002, we were at 38.1 deaths per 100,000. And the report went on to say that the developers of the first antibiotics in the 1940s knew about the bacterial drug resistance, which the research team at Oxford called penicillase and later renamed it beta-lactamase. So the research team under Dr. Fleming acknowledged in 1942 that bacterial strains would become more prevalent with the use of penicillin. And Dr. Fleming also states in his 1945 New York Times interview that there would be a, quote, evolution of other resistant organisms as a result of using antibiotics that were there. There are no drugs that fight bacteria eventually, and that would produce the same. So he said, eventually, you're going to not have anything to deal with the resistant bacteria. He saw that. He created penicillin, and he saw that was going to happen. All right, so by 1948, Dr. Fleming's prediction of the mutating bacteria manifested with just 4 years of penicillin being on the market, and we have over 150 antibiotics in use, and over half of those manufactured are injected into farm animals that we eat as food. So the FDA was negligent to allow unrestricted use of antibiotics in humans and animals, and we're going to be paying a price. Yes, we are. Okay, so modern medicine has, you know, saved a generation or two from bacterial infections with antibiotics, only to put future generations into what is called chemical shackles. Medicine needs new classes of antibiotics to try to stay ahead of these evolving organisms. However, there would, you know, where would that line of defense lead us? Some say that there would be one day the price would be too high, and modern advancements wouldn't be able to keep up. So there is really no doubt that modern science can reverse the trend of killer bacteria. Researchers are struggling to use fewer antibiotics to pan down the drug resistance. And however, medicine has this profit margin, and the drug companies, you know, push the drugs anyway. So the financials on antibiotics may overcome any good judgment that we may try to reverse or pan down the drug resistance, because money answers all things, according to the scriptures. Now, studies by Joseph DeMasi have gained some acceptance by the Office of Technology Assessment and the Congressional Budget Office. DeMasi and his team calculated the cost of the development of one antibiotic by the pharmaceutical company. So in 2000, that figure from bench to bedside was about $802 million for one antibiotic. Other kinds of medications are less expensive to bring to market, and therefore the decline in developing new antibiotics. Here's a quote from Adam Smith in 1776. It was an inquiry into the nature and causes of the wealth of nations, and he says this: "We address ourselves not to their humanity, but to their self-love, and never talk to them of our necessities, but of their advantages." So if you plan to wait for drug companies to get it together and to give you the key to the chemical shackles, you run the risk of one day acquiring a bacterial infection your immune system can't handle because it's so suppressed by the antibiotics, and there's no drug that has power over the mutating bacteria. So our immune system is meant to engage, pathogens, and even dangerous ones. So antibiotics and vaccines have manipulated the immune system of millions, and it pretty much suppresses the immune system to sit by the wayside and do absolutely nothing. Therefore, it's really no surprise when we want to depend on our immune system, it can't help us. It's so weak. It's like, you know, putting it in a wheelchair and ask it to run a marathon. So if you're going to depend on artificial infections, also known as vaccines, an artificial immune system response known as antibiotics, then you're going to find yourself in a very precarious situation. So unnatural practices can produce unforeseen consequences. and medical treatments that cause suicide, promote euthanasia, and make the womb a grave and suppress your immune system do not preserve life and would not be the advice of a physician of any good value. So when trillions of dollars are involved, you can bet that the good for humanity is going to be pushed back for the sake of the almighty dollar. So what did the world do before antibiotics? Well, they used herbs, and they used antibacterial herbs, and they used the herbs to fight pathogens that helped the immune system do its job. And then those pathogens didn't mutate. They became not resistant to a natural immune system response. So herbs do contain a lot of super nutrition that supports your natural defenses, and it supports the body, and helps correct any imbalance pretty quickly. Actually, your immune system has several different kinds of killer T cells, and one of the types of cells it has is an adaptogen cell, which can quickly read an antibody that it may have created for a similar disease, and it can use that as a blueprint and then adapt it to the new disease it's encountering. That's how sophisticated your immune system is. You don't want to ever shut that off. No. So if you're interested in how powerful you can become and how you can strengthen your immune system response, so because if you've had vaccines and you've taken antibiotics, you have a suppressed and weak immune system, but you know, you can bring it back up to normal speed. Use your immune boosting herbs to do that. And there's a full line of immune boosting herbs at thepowerherbs.com. You can check it out there. Or you can call the folks at Apothecary Herbs and get their free catalog. The number is 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. Now, if you're outside the U.S., dial 704-885-0277 and check it out, thepowerherbs.com. They do have their autumn special going on right now, so you'll save 15%. On your herbal formulas on orders over $50. So, you know, before the cold and flu season takes off, this is a good time to stock up because it's about to take off. We get the cold and flu season when we start a season of a lot of sugar consumption, and that starts with Halloween in October. Then we have Thanksgiving and Christmas and then New Year's because we have a lot of alcohol that converts the sugar through all these holidays. And then we have Valentine's Day. So usually we're not past the cold and flu season till March because of a lot of the sugar. So if you really want to help your immune system out, because sugar suppresses your immune system, one candy bar shuts it off for 8 hours. Okay? So next time you know, looking at that vending machine with a candy bar at work, you're going to eat that, and you're going to go back to your cubicle and your neighbor's coughing and hacking and carrying on, and they're just saying, oh, it's just allergies. Do you really want to take that risk? So immune boosting herbs, not foods and sugar and drugs that suppress the immune system. Do yourself a favor. Work with your body, not against it. Thepowerherbs.com. And allergies is just another thing. A lot of times you're allergic to your diet that really puts your immune system under a lot of stress, and you can actually exhaust your immune system, and then it takes a little dip, and then you get sick. So there's a lot you could do with your diet, too, and a lot of people call and ask about that. So if you have any questions, give the folks at Apothecary Herbs a call Monday through Friday, 866-229-3663. And you can get rid of a lot of the seasonal problems that people get. A lot of seasonal sinusitis right about now because you're getting a lot of rain, leaves are falling, a lot of mold on the ground. So do yourself a favor, and you can sidestep the pharmacy and over-the-counter stuff and a lot of other junk, and be well. Just be well. It's an empowering thing. My goodness, this hour went so fast, but I'll be back with more empowering information next time. Hope you'll be with us to enjoy it. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. So seek medical advice if you dare from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Till next time, be well.